The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd Radio Network. We're on all three of our stations within the region of Central Florida, Orlando, covered by WIWA, and we say hello to our friends all the way up in the northern region, in Gainesville, and then in between in Ocala and the villages. We'd like to say welcome to you all. My program always features some newsmakers, somebody that's doing something for the glory of God, and that is true today. We have a return guest. I think this is the third time that Elizabeth Ameling has been with us. Elizabeth is the founder of Letitia's House. Letitia's House is named after a young lady, as I recall, that became the namesake for this ministry, who you found and rescued in a human trafficking scenario. And I think it would be good, Elizabeth, as we start off our discussion today, to kind of give us the basics of that in case someone is listening today for the very first time. But it's a fascinating story. I never get tired of hearing it. I'm sure you probably have told it a million times. But first of all, welcome to Elizabeth Ameling. And then with Elizabeth, she's brought along the house manager. Is that the right title? For Letitia's House, which is Lourdes Munez. And it's great to have Lourdes. I've known you a long time as well. So welcome to both of you ladies.
Thank you, Mike.
And tell us, Elizabeth, if you'll go ahead and give us kind of the short story of how you met this young lady and what you were doing, at the time, because you weren't expecting a divine appointment like what happened.
No, I certainly wasn't. I was a homeschooling mom. And a youth group chaperone on a trip with our kids, and they were in middle school and high school.
And you're from what area?
I'm from Virginia, and we were living in Charlottesville.
Uh-huh.
And so we drove to Gary, Indiana. We did dramas, and then we ended up in the south side of Chicago for 2 weeks, and we worked at the Dream Center. We drove around with them, and we did street outreach and street ministry. The kids did drama. They did the chair. And I was with a gaggle of little girls who were mostly middle school. My daughter, Sarah, who was 12 at the time. And we saw a little girl on a street corner kind of around 7 o'clock at night. And it wasn't in a good section of town. South Chicago has a lot of gang violence, graffiti everywhere, condoms on the ground, needles on the ground. And we saw this child. And I thought, where are her parents? And she saw us and she approached us and she was hungry. She was really skinny and hungry, and we gave her food and just were kind to her. A couple of days later, we saw her again. Her name was Letitia. We saw her again, and she approached us because we were safe. I mean, I was a mom, and I was a safe person to talk to.
And you had just little girls and
I had little girls and me, yes. I was in charge of the girls, and so I mean, 12, 12, they wouldn't, my daughter Sarah would be saying, Mom, I wasn't little, I was 12. So, excuse me, young adults that are 12, right? So, what do you call those? They were just young people, not young children, but they're 12 and 13.
Tweeners.
So, tweeners, yes, I had tweeners with me. And so, we saw Letitia again, and I said, would you like another sandwich? And we were handing out water. It was very hot, and she goes, no, I'm full from the other day. Now, Letitia weighed about 80 pounds, her shoulder blades stood out like angel wings. She was super, super skinny, and I was thinking she's full from the other day. And then we noticed that she was with the same gentleman she'd been with before, and he was standing about 10 feet away from her, and I realized that he was a pimp. Ugh. And then the third time we saw her was the life-changing night for her and us. We were in Lower Wacker. It's midnight, and she came out of the shadows because she recognized our van. And she came up to us, and I had said to the Dream Center guy and the off-duty cop, I've called my husband. If we get her, we're going to rescue her, and we're going to take her home with me, and I'm going to help her. And they said, you can't take a child across state lines. And I said, of course not. What can we do? They said, we'll take her to a safe house if she's willing for Christ to change her life. And so we saw her. He said, Mom, get out. Girls, stay in, because there were men on the ground, mostly pretty naked. And so I get out with Sarah, my daughter, and Letitia comes up to us. And I said, Letitia, would you like your life to change? And she goes, yes. And she grabs my hands and she says, but I don't know how. And then, just moved by the Holy Spirit, she says, oh God, if you're real, change my life.
Oh my goodness.
And all of a sudden, she started to cry. And she said, I feel loved all over. Something's happening to me. And so we scooped her up in the van and they restrained her pimp because then he realized he was losing her. And we drove off into the night. And as we went to the safe house, the founder of the Dream Center got on the phone and she told her story. She'd been trafficked when she was 12. She had hep C. Her brothers were drug dealers in Louisiana and sold her. And she said until she met us, she didn't think that anybody cared if she lived or died. So we took her to a safe house. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
And she was much older than you thought.
She was in her 20s.
Yeah.
But she'd been kept in a prepubescent stage because they sold her as a child because children make more money than adults. So when we got to the house, she'd talked for an hour and the kids in our youth group were literally crying because it was hardcore tragedy, drug abuse, rape, all these things that happened to her. But she says, I'm scared. And they said, you'll be okay. And then she said, well, I have a shower. We said, yes. Will you have a bed to sleep in? She goes, yes. And the house mother came out and the moon is shining. It's a full moon. And she comes over to Letitia and she embraces her and hugs her tightly and says, welcome home, Letitia. Welcome home. And at that moment, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I heard God's voice say in my ear, this is what you're called to do. And you have to do this, you know. So I argued with the Lord and I said, you know, I'm a homeschooling mom with three kids, in case he didn't remember that.
And that's wanted to help him along on that.
Yeah,
thing.
In case he knew who he was talking to. But that's kind of how it happened. So
Oh my goodness. We
went back. We started a H2O ministry in Charlottesville. One of our pastors has been homeless. We said we need to be trained to be the hand and feet of Jesus. We don't want to turn people off. So we shared the gospel of people were open, but we gave them food and water and clothing and connected them with services. And we did that for 3 years. And over that period of time, we kept running into underage girls and girls over 18 who were trafficked. So we knew we had to do something. So Letitia's house grew out of that.
You know, I'm talking regularly now with people who are coming across ministries like yours. And it's much more prevalent, this whole thing of human trafficking. I think a lot of people still may be kind of uncomfortably and maybe willingly uncomfortable to delve into exactly all that that means, because it sounds nasty, it sounds horrible, and it is horrible. Mm-hmm. It's beyond belief, actually, what it is. And just like you said, she's in slavery. I mean, talk about something that sounds like Joseph and his brothers who sold him into slavery. In the Bible, I mean, that's exactly going on today in a lot of these places. And sadly, often it's the mom or the dad who's doing that dastardly deed to their child. And they're ending up in these situations in horrible slavery. And that's why it is being called that. And it's rightfully so being called slavery. It's a form of human slavery that is not just here and there. But it's throughout the state of Florida. And I was shocked to find out, and you know the statistics on this probably better than anybody, how prevalent it is even in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, Orlando is number two in terms of cities in the nation for trafficking.
Wait a minute. Number two, not just in Florida.
But nationwide.
What's number one? Would it be New York?
Well, New York or Los Angeles. It depends. I mean, Polaris keeps track of those statistics. But Florida is number two as a state. It depends, number two or number three in a state, and Orlando's number two. So it's bit, but you think about it, you've got coastline, you've got ports, you've got airports, you have weather that's conducive to trafficking. I mean, it's in all big cities. It's in New York. It's in Los Angeles. It's in Richmond, Virginia. It's in Williamsburg, Virginia. I mean, every city is impacted by human trafficking. People don't realize it, but every hotel, every city probably has been impacted by it.
And what's so sad about it is I've learned from talking to people like you is that the girls that get in it are just like Letitia. They don't know how to get out. There doesn't seem to be a way to get out. Number one, emotionally, they feel already ruined. They feel already unable, maybe unwanted, unloved. They have all of those emotions, which for someone who has been neglected the way they have been, that's pretty normal, pretty understandable. But then from a standpoint of just sheer economics and sheer how are they going to live, where are they going to eat, where are they going to sleep? I mean, to hear Letitia ask if they had a bed, I mean, or to hear your story where she said, I'm still full from the meal from the other night. I mean, that that's just unbelievably heartbreaking to hear.
It is. It is. But there are a lot of commonalities with women that are trafficked. Most are trafficked between the ages of 12 and 14, and little boys are trafficked between the ages of 7 and 9. And so a woman that's arrested and often rescued when she's arrested, she's 18 or 20 or 24. Mm-hmm. When you listen to her story, inevitably there's childhood sexual abuse or trauma that happened when she was under 7. And then she was trafficked usually by the time she was 12 years old. And so they've been in the lifestyle a long time. When they finally get arrested and have a break from the predators, they've been in a long time.
Wow. This is a very sad story that has to be told because it is so prevalent. And Letitia's house has been here, I think, what, for about 2 years now?
Yes, about 2 years. Almost 2 years.
And so last year when we had you on about this time last year, and you were here as well, and then in between you gave a phone interview to me, which I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
This time last year was, I believe, the first of the galas that you put on. It's a fundraising gala.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll hear from Lourdes and your role in all of this as well.
We have our second annual gala at the Citrus Club November 21st, starts at 5 o'clock. And it's not one of those evenings where people yakety-yak all night and bore you. We have a video on Letitia's house, so the Central Florida community can find out what we're doing because we're still the new kid on the block in terms of being a nonprofit ministry. Although we're 8 years old in Virginia, Letitia's house is going on its ninth years. But we have a short 3-minute video that describes the thing that we do, the work that we do. And then we have a lovely dinner and appetizers, and we have a Caribbean music.
That sounds like fun.
We have a harpist, so there'll be sweet, lovely music that'll get your feet moving under the table. And then we have a survivor story. One of our survivors, one of our graduates, you have to come to the gala to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But her testimony is amazing. And she's really representative of hundreds of thousands of women like her. But she's got a joyful story and a wonderful relationship with the Lord. So she gives a 3 to 4 minute testimony on video.
Mm.
And then we have a raise the paddle and a live auction, and it's just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk more specifics about that because I think that is fun to hear. And for people who have never gone to an event like this, the details about that I think are really fun. And again, I just feel so compelled. It's so important that we understand we're not creating an event for fun's sake, though. Well, this is a ministry that is doing an incredible job, an incredible work, and it's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time deal to where people just visit this once a year. I mean, for you guys, this is 24/7, 365. I mean, it's going all year round, and it's very important. I'd like to turn for a moment to Lourdes. Lourdes, tell us your role, what you do inside of Letitia's house.
Sure. I'm a house manager and program director, and I'm hands-on with the ladies. So from the time that they come in, I was grateful to be able to personally greet one of the women, that our newest resident that came in the other day, giving her a hug, telling her welcome home, which is the theme of our gala this year.
And the theme of the gala is welcome home?
Welcoming her home.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was able to do that personally. And just the day-to-day experience with the ladies as they heal, as they come to a place where they can rest and relax. Many of them have not had an opportunity to do that for years. So we deal with things like them having nightmares in the evening because they're trying to overcome the thoughts that they've had in the past. So we're able to comfort them, pray with them, give them just really sense of peace. Our house is on a beautiful, beautiful area, lake, they can look out at the beautiful view and just relax and really get a chance to take a breath and enjoy themselves for first time in a long time.
You know, one of the things that comes to my mind when I hear the story about Letitia's house and other places like it, it's the fact that when you think of like a hospital that is constantly on, there's somebody there awake and going. And when you have a house like this, there is a similarity in the sense that every minute of the day, you're dealing with somebody who's in a process of healing. Mm-hmm. And so there's care really needed to be going around the clock. How does that happen in a home like this where you've got residents that are staying there, that are coming out? Do you see a lot of them being pulled back while they're there, being pulled back in, or are they all just safely? Either one of you can answer that.
So it depends on the lady. So we do have women who, it's hard to change a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So to come out of that, there's, you know, you go for what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes a familiarity, there's safety in just returning to old patterns. It's all some of them have ever known. But for others, it's a relief. Most of them, it's a relief to be there. And they're able to start to live a new life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a day at a time. It's difficult. Part of the process that they go through is counseling. And we have one woman I'm thinking of who, as they go through counseling, they a lot of times relive what they've been through to get it out. And it can be very difficult. It brings up a lot of emotions. So that we deal with that on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned before, just we stop and pray. And they continue counseling. And it's just part of their healing process. It's not easy. It's not overnight. But it's we provide a safe place where they can do that. We provide a family-like atmosphere so they feel like they're home and that they can relax and heal and are with staff that they can trust and just feel that sense of safety.
As a nonprofit, Elizabeth, when you have the need, which I know you must have, for volunteers, what kind of training do you have for them?
We have a couple of different trainings that we do. We're one of 10 safe houses in the United States that are certified in the HEART model, which is through the Center for Trauma Studies in Tampa and Regent University in Virginia. And it's the HEART's Effective Emotional Response to Trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do, it's a two-day thing. So I come down and do the training. So we want our volunteers to understand what trauma looks like, because every woman that comes to Letitia's house has some form of PTSD, and that means they can be triggered by sounds or smells or things that you wouldn't imagine. Like one girl in Virginia was triggered by a bar of soap because it reminded her of the soap in a hotel room where she was assaulted and somebody had donated Dial soap. And then she's freaking out in the bathroom and we realized the Dial soap was a trigger. So if you were a volunteer and you walked in on that, you'd be going, oh my God, what have I done? And so, I mean, you can't predict the things that are going to make a woman cry or get upset. And so we want our volunteers to understand in trauma, this is all part of the healing mm-hmm. process. And we're fearfully and wonderfully created by God. It's amazing, because when the girls are in survival mode, that is suppressed because they're surviving day to day. When they come to Letitia's house, they stop running. And when they stop running, the Holy Spirit gently brings those things that need to be dealt with up to the surface. And that's what happens, which is why most of the time it takes 12 to 18 months. Studies show it takes 2.5 to 5 years to heal from trauma. So for most of our residents, this is the beginning of a journey to wellness.
For your residents, what would be the average age?
Oh, gosh, in Virginia, it's probably 25. In Florida, it's probably 30.
Hmm.
So
the kids that you find that are underage, that like what you thought, let's say for a moment, if Letitia had been underage, what would have been the kind of the governmental, lawful, organized safe house for them? What would happen?
If you're under 18, because we're set up so that we take women over 18 and above. But if they're rescued when they're younger, they go into supervised foster care, special mm-hmm. foster care situations, or safe houses for for adolescents, and those are licensed by the state of Florida. They're licensed in Virginia because there are different parameters that apply for children.
Which I'm sure there's additional training that's necessary as well, because, I mean, just your average family is probably not going to know how to deal with some of the things that these kids are facing or going through or have gone through. And I just, you know, the whole image that you've given about, I can only imagine how difficult it must be the first week that you have a new resident there. It's got to be pretty difficult.
Well, we have a blackout period at the first couple weeks where women just have a chance to get their sleep cycles regulated, because if they've been, quote, working all night, they want to sleep all day. So it takes a couple weeks to adjust into a normal Acadian rhythm for sleep. Even that takes a while. So we try to help them ease into that and away from the lifestyle. So that takes a while.
Were you an incredibly patient person before the Lord gave you that little nudge that said, this is going to be your future? You have what it must be an enormous amount of patience in your life.
Well, I think I'm a work in progress. If you asked my children if I was patient, I don't know what they would tell you. They might say no. I don't know. My children love me, but I'm a much better parent and person today than I was years ago. I continue to be changed by the Lord. So,
my guest today is Elizabeth Ameling from Letitia's House, and along with her is Lourdes Minez, and she is the house mother there. We're here to talk about the big event that's going to be coming up in November, on the 21st of November, and it's a gala that's going to be held at the Citrus Club. Now, friends, if you've never been to the Citrus Club, that in itself is worth the price of the ticket. It's a beautiful restaurant on top of one of the buildings in downtown Orlando, and it is just a treat to be able to do this, but I can't think of a more important cause that would draw people to a night like this than what Letitia's House is. And so we're so grateful for these ladies. This is Elizabeth's third visit here on the program, and we're going to learn more about the particulars about the upcoming gala in a moment. Thanks for being with me today here on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to be right back after this. Back again with my guest today on Afternoons with Mike, Elizabeth Ameling, who is the founder of this wonderful organization called Letitia's House. And also with her is the house manager, Lourdes Minez. Lourdes, there's a website that I know. It's kind of a long website, but you can give it. Why don't you give the details of how people can go to the Letitia's House website and get that link for the gala?
Sure. Our website is pretty simple. It's letitiashouse.com. And we just we have stories on there of our survivors. We have Miss Elizabeth Ameling telling you about the history of our of organization, and we have information about how you can sign up for the gala. So
yes, and the Letitia is Latishas House.
Correct.
All right, very good. So friends, look that up and be sure and find out about this group, because it's wonderful. I know some friends of mine, Benny and Cherie Phillips, are also involved. And after you were here the first time, not long after that, Benny and Cherie were both on my program, and they're just dear people, dear friends. I have known them since 1986. So that's how far back we go with them. And wow, I met them in September of 85. My friends right now will be laughing at me because I tend to be a little bit too exacting with all my dates, and that's the way I'm wired, and I'm so sorry about that. So yes, it's a long time, and they're really wonderful people. Serve on your board, right?
Yes. Benny is the chairman of the board, and Cherie is a dear, dear friend. She's a Christian counselor. She's worked with the staff. She's worked with the residents, and she's a dear friend. Jeff, my husband, and I went to Benny and Cherie's church in Fairfax County, and he was our senior pastor. And so when God put Letitia's House on our heart for Orlando, because we had a young lady that was sent from the state attorney general's office to Virginia because it was a very big trafficking case, the young lady who came to our house and graduated from our program said, Miss Liz, you've got to open a house in Orlando. So 3 years ago, I came to Orlando, but I wrote Benny's church, Redeemer Church, and I wrote Church in the Sun in Northland. I just sent out letters, cast your bread upon the water. And Benny said it changed our lives because there was this letter from you. And so we've connected again, and they're precious, precious friends.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Dear
indeed.
Friends.
Yes.
So it's a small world, though, isn't it?
Yes. And they're down by the Lake Nona area.
They are.
And where is Letitia's house? What part of Orlando is it in?
Northern part.
In the northern part of Orlando.
Yes.
Okay. So it's that is a trek for Benny and Sheree then.
Yes.
Orange County tends to be this humongous big county down here.
Well, Orlando is a trek. I mean, I've stayed in South Orlando. It can take an hour and a half to get across the city. And Williamsburg is this tiny little town with you can get anywhere in 20 minutes. So it's Orlando's big, yes.
Well, I tell you what, this is a wonderful organization full of people who are really just after one thing, and that is to serve God and to give glory to God with a burden, and maybe given that burden rather unexpectedly as you were, but nonetheless given that burden from God, because what a chance meeting to meet up with a lady when you're a young lady named Letitia, when you're on the south side of Chicago, which we know that's where bad Leroy Brown is, after all. Those of us that are older will remember Jim Croce's song. And there, it's true. I've been on the south side of Chicago. At nighttime, it's not exactly a safe feeling to be, for sure. And here's, sadly, a young lady who is in her 20s, but looks like she's really in her mid-teens then, right?
Right.
Maybe even younger.
Even younger.
Yeah.
She didn't look like she'd gone through puberty.
Mm.
I mean, my daughter Sarah was struggling with puberty, and Letitia looked younger than Sarah.
Wow.
And Sarah was 12. But so, if you starve a girl and she doesn't have periods, she can look very androgynous and look much like a child.
Mm.
So,
and I think it's really difficult for any of us to get. I know it's hard for me. I've done, I don't know how many interviews now with people on human trafficking. And it is always hard for me to wrap, because I'm a dad of three daughters. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to get my brain around what these girls have gone through without getting seriously emotional. And just, it's heartbreaking. It's painful. It's painful in every way. And yet we cannot stick our head like an ostrich in the ground and act like this is not going on, or it's too ugly to see. It's too hard to hear, because this is their life. This is what they're stuck in. And I am so grateful for you, Elizabeth, for what you did, for even your willingness, because it obviously, when you think of the size, and while you describe Wilmington, is that what you said?
Or Williamsburg.
Williamsburg. Well, that may be a small area, but Chicago is not. And the fact that you were able to come across this young lady three times in the course of just a couple of days, that in itself is proof to the fact that God was bringing this child across your path.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we can all know that this is no idea that just happenstance crossed your mind. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit, that He has guided you, and now you've accepted the beck and call from God to come to Orlando. Letitia's house is now a couple of years old. And this big gala, we know that it takes money, it takes prayer, it takes people, it takes volunteers, it takes wisdom, it takes all of this to put together a nonprofit to ever do anything, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's reaching out to people who are being rescued out of child trafficking and human trafficking, not just child trafficking, but human trafficking itself. What are you looking for this gala to produce for Letitia's house this year?
Well, that's a really great question. We've got a couple of things that God's put on our heart. I mean, one, of course, we always need to raise money, because Letitia's house, we pay for vocational school, we pay for college. As we've grown, God's put it on our hearts, because it's not just enough to provide counseling and prayer and a church environment and a family environment and financial literacy and vocational training, which we do, but we want the women to be able to be sustainable when they leave, so they don't go back. Because some programs that end after a year or whatever, if you don't have a skill, and all you've known is, one of our young ladies said, having sex with men, if that's all you know, you're going to go back to that by necessity, because you don't know what to do, especially if you have a criminal background or felonies, which most of our residents have. So what we do at Letitia's house is we we help them get education and careers like culinary school or cosmetology, because when you do that, you can actually have a criminal background and have a job and make a difference. At the end of being at Letitia's House, we want you to be volunteering and giving back. Because if women have a mission of their own and they're giving back and they're part of a church, they don't go back to the lifestyle. But it's been through a lot of sadness and tragedy. We've learned that we need to extend our program out. So 18 months is the beginning, 12 to 18 months is the beginning. So at the gala, we hope to inspire people to get involved. We have another project already that God's put on our hearts called Hope Village. And I know it's the Holy Spirit, and I know it's the Lord, and a lot of other different places are at the same place where we have a community, a housing community, where you'd have a site director and you live there for $200 or $300 a month rent, and you still do drug testing, and your children are going to counseling, reunification with children. They need counseling. They've been through trauma. You're doing job skills. You're going to college. You have financial literacy. At the end of 3 years living at Hope Village, you've restored your credit. You have a down payment for a house. We're working with realtors on our board. And then these women will become homeowners, and they'll get to own their own houses and continue to give back. So Hope Village, it just means the journey continues. So you go from Letitia's house or even another safe house, and then you come to Hope Village, and you can live 2 to 3 more years while you're strengthening all the things in your life that are going to help you be successful.
Now, would Hope Village be in Orlando?
It would be.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be wherever it needs to be.
Wow, that's
we have
exciting.
A vision, because it's the next part of the journey. Because what God has done is he first showed us Letitia, and then we opened, and we opened a year, and then we had a year and a half. And our average stay in Virginia is over 2 years, because we realize the longer time people have to heal, the better they do. And so of course, the question is, Liz, what can we do better? And Hope Village has come out of that. So at the gala, we hope to get people excited about Hope Village and thinking about the next steps.
That's great.
So that's part of it.
There's a real need for safety for the women. Even after they finish the program, their traffickers may be incarcerated or may not be. They may only be incarcerated for a certain number of years, and the women may fear that they will be found and they'll be hurt. So that's a real fear. And that's a fear that sometimes motivates them to even get back into the lifestyle, trying to protect their own lives. So if we have a long-term place where the women can go, then that fear is removed. The pressure to return to a life of human trafficking disappears.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so Hope Village is so integral, important to the life of them and their children.
You know, I can't get away from this question. Anywhere we go, the coronavirus has had its impact on just about every aspect of our lives. How has it affected this past year on Letitia's House? What kind of impact did it make?
God is faithful first and foremost, and he birthed this ministry. And I totally believe with every fiber of my being and every cell in my body that God who began it will complete it. And it's to his glory, and it will be sustained regardless of what we do or don't do. And I believe that totally, because I feel his heart when I look at these women. I often think of what he wrote in the sand. And when I get to heaven, maybe I'll find out what he wrote in the sand. I've always wondered, but I think about that because that woman standing there could have been a resident of Letitia's house.
Yeah.
You know, she would have been one of those women. So it affected us financially. It was very hard, both states. Because our giving mostly comes from churches and community. And I know a lot of churches have been really hit hard because a lot of people have been out of work. So it's been a tough year. COVID's been a tough year. And the other impact we had was volunteers in both states. Because of COVID in Virginia, we were truly on lockdown, as was Florida. So we lost volunteers all summer. I mean, people were afraid to come. And I understand that they don't want to get COVID. So hopefully things will open up and volunteers can come back and programming can become, begin again. We've done a lot of telemedicine, stuff like that.
I would imagine that volunteers would seemingly be the number one big impact because of just the sheer exposure issue that we're all having to face. And I know that it is it's always difficult, I believe, for any nonprofit to have the right amount of volunteers, enough volunteers to do all that's needed. You just can't hire people. You can't hire enough when you're doing that. And so, so grateful for the heart. But you have something that I think that a lot of people who share this burden, the God-given burden that you have, that that in itself is a, I believe, a bit of a draw for people to come and help you, and they want to be a part. So that's, it's good to hear that you're able to overcome all of that and that it's not really setting back anything right now.
Well, it's, and I think we're turning the corner. I don't know what's going to happen with COVID, but people, when they come and meet the women at the house, it changes their lives. I mean, if you volunteer at Letitia's house and you come, you'll fall in love with the residents and your life will be changed forever. And most of our volunteers, I shouldn't tell it, but once they volunteer, they tend to stay volunteered. Or like my staff says, voluntold. So, but once you come and God touches your heart, then it becomes a calling in your life.
Yeah.
So people tend to stay for years once they get involved. Because when you see a woman graduate or you go to court and she gets custody of her child, or you see her get baptized on a Sunday morning and she gives her testimony, there's nothing like that. I mean, I've stood in church jumping up and down crying when I see a girl get baptized because her life has changed. Or when you take the women at Letitia's house out to Outback Steakhouse, which we did recently, and my husband and I were sitting there looking around the table, and every woman sitting there eating her 14-ounce wolf fillet or whatever she got, I mean, he said, get whatever you want. I said, honey, don't tell them that. They'll all order lobster. No, they ordered the New York strip and the whatever. But anyway, they sat there and they ate their sides and they're gobbling their steak and taking stuff home. I mean, one of the women there had been trafficked for 40 years and raped when she was 5. And she's a preschool teacher, got her degree from college, paid for by Letitia's house. And then there was another girl from Orlando who was sitting there. And I went around the table and I thought, all of these women would probably be in jail or dead without Letitia's house. Instead, they're laughing and joking and talking. And like any other normal young woman, you know, if you walked in the restaurant, you just thought we had a big, noisy bunch of people that stayed too long. So you look at that. I mean, my mom is 86 and she was looking at them. She's going, Liz, their lives are changed if nothing else ever happens. You know, look at that. Their lives are changed and their children's lives are changed forever. So once you get a glimpse of that, you're truly, it's like crazy glue. You're stuck.
Yeah. A generational effect, really.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity for area churches, individuals, not only to get involved via the gala, which that's an easy way to do because it's coming up. It's November 21st at 5 o'clock at the Citrus Club in beautiful downtown Orlando. They don't call the city beautiful for nothing. It's a beautiful area downtown, the Citrus Club. And on that night, it's a dressy affair. It's really kind of almost like a black tie event, which people do, I guess, wear tuxes and dress to the nines for that night, although that's not critical. But if people want to come and be a part of that evening, how do they do that?
Well, you're going to go to letitiashouse.com, and the gala is prominently featured there, and you can register online to join. You can buy a ticket, possibly purchase a table. We may be sold out or close to sold out. But and then once you register, you can pick your menu selection and things like that. And then we have a live auction, silent auction. So once you register, you'll be able to see the auction items. We have pre-bidding. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a really fun evening. But like you said, Mike, the biggest thing is when you come to the gala, you're going to hear a heart. And hopefully God will touch your heart and you'll say, gee, I want to be involved. So maybe you'll come and do financial literacy, or maybe you'll come and do track and running, or maybe you'll come and work on a raised vegetable garden so they can grow their produce. Or maybe you like to raise bees and we do beehives outside so you have Florida honey. Or maybe you love to do wildlife and bird walks, and you take the ladies on walks and they learn to discover the different kinds of birds and wonderful wildlife in Orlando.
That's amazing.
All of these things are possibilities. Or maybe you are a retired chef, a French chef. Or maybe you love to cook things that are gluten-free. Or maybe you're a canner and you can vegetables in your summer garden. And you say, let's do tomato sauce and ketchup and let's grow a garden and do canning. Wow. Or maybe you like to sew. Or maybe you like to sing. There's a piano. It's often in tune and often out of tune. But maybe you like to come and have a music night. Or maybe you like really bad old movies and you want to come and do a bad movie night where everybody wears their pajamas and you watch silly old movies and eat popcorn. Or, you know, the maybes go on and on and on. If you have a passion for seeing Christ change a life and you want to love someone, then you have a gift to share, and we're excited to help you find out what it is.
Oh, that's an amazing segment that you've just given us right there, because I had no idea that the house has that many options for people, and you're giving out a number of varied interests. So people, if they wanted the honeybee thing, I know there are a lot of people. Surprisingly, I've never been one, but there's a lot of friends of mine that are really into that. I've got a good friend that does that. With the whole garb and puts on the mask, and I've just never wanted to be that close to thousands of bees before, but that's something that he wanted to do, and he does it, and it's really cool. Now, I love the honey. Don't get me wrong. I love good Florida honey. It's wonderful. Oh, that night sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, if people let's say we've got some businesses that would like to donate either financially toward this, but they can also give certificates or services or whatever. They can give that for this silent auction, right?
Silent auction, a live auction. Last year when we did our first gala, COVID impacted our live auction items and restaurant businesses. God bless them. So many businesses that we went to last year have been hurting and they can't give this year. And I mean, restaurants are really struggling, mm-hmm. and in Virginia as well. But if you have a vacation house, or if you have, like, we'd love to have a couple of trips for the live auction. We need some live auction items still. If we don't have them, it'll be okay. God is good. But if you have something you'd like to donate, or if you have a week of vacation that you never used, or a timeshare or something like that. But also sports memorabilia. Last year, the most popular things at the silent auction were two baseballs. Do not ask me whose name was on it because I didn't know anything about it. But the line for people signing up to get those baseballs was really long and very competitive. So they were the little baseballs in the little boxes with the glass on them. So, you know, so if you have sports memorabilia, or one gentleman last year donated glasses from UCF before it became UCF, and it was the engineering college. Mm-hmm. And so my daughter was an engineer from UCF, so I bought those as a wedding present for her. But I mean, it's anything that you might have laying around that you'd like to donate, we would love to have for our silent auction or live auction. Oh, absolutely.
That's wonderful. The auction the gala, which will include both auctions, is going to be November 21st, and that is at the Citrus Club. And give us that website one more time.
It's letitiashouse.com. That's LATISHASHOUSE.com.
Wonderful. Elizabeth Amling, thank you so much for being with me today. Lourdes as well, thank you. It's great to have both of you ladies here. And we're trusting that this year will be bigger than ever, and that the virus will just be kind of like out of mind, mm-hmm. and people are not going to be worried about that. This is going to be a live event, not a virtual event. We want to make sure that that's understood, that this is a real get dressed up, come out night to the Citrus Club on the 21st of November. And that's going to be a Saturday night at 5 p.m. Get all the details at letitiashouse.com, correct?
And the other thing I would mention, just so everybody feels confident, we will have nurses doing body temperatures when you get off the elevator. I mean, if you're sick, please don't come.
Right.
And we also have personally designed Letitia's House masks that say Letitia's House, changing one life, changing the world.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So you will get a mask in a sealed little envelope. And when you get it, when you're eating dinner, you don't wear your mask. But if you're walking around during the evening, mm-hmm. we'll request that you wear your mask.
Okay.
So we're taking COVID precautions.
All the protocols will be in place. Well, that's wonderful. I hope that it's a wonderful evening and that God just blesses you guys and meets all your needs that night. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
That's all my time for today. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.